Good morning. There are very changes to the tentative agenda. Meet with department heads, elected officials. Terry Johnson, Des Moines County Auditor.
Good morning. Next Monday starts the candidate filing, county candidate filing for, and that includes soil and water, ag extension, township trustees and clerks that are up for election, and anybody that wants to, I guess, be on any of the other county races, they'd be on there as MPOs or candidates nominated by petitions, so they wouldn't have anything listed behind their name, but. And then, anyway, that starts August the 6th, it runs through the 29th, and it sounds like there was a lawsuit against the Secretary of State for some of the recent rules that they put in place, like requiring the PIN numbers on the absentee request forms and verifying signatures, and they cut back the absentee voting period. It used to be 40 days, and they cut it back to 29. And then evidently, this lawsuit was filed, they filed their bond, so anybody, there are some counties that are having special elections come up. And so that basically changes everything back to way it originally was. You don't have to have the PIN number, because that's why this is sitting up there waiting to go through their courts up there. Anybody that requests an absentee ballot doesn't have to have the designated ID or PIN number. You know, if you forget to put that on there, it's kind of like old rules back then. And it also moved the absentee request or absentee voting back to 40 days.
So you've got to change all your dates.
But that's just for now, until it goes through the Supreme or whatever they're.
That's not going to happen before the election, though. I can't imagine.
I don't know. But we'll just have to see what comes up within the next couple of weeks and see what they change for us then.
You can't imagine.
Constantly changing.
That'd be the fastest I've, Amy isn't here, is she? That'd be the fastest I've ever seen a group of lawyers move.
So how long that will take, I don't know, but anyway, all of that's just kind of hanging out there for the elections. And the other thing is, I think we're getting ready to turn our files over, to cut off all splits and everything, so then that way we can, Janelle's not up here, but for our tax, for the tax billing, we plan on cutting that off probably at the end of this month, and then by, I think, next Monday, turn that file over to the treasurer's office so they can work on the next tax billing. That's it for our office.
Amy, county attorney.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm on the spot now.
Well, I've already made my lawyer crack, so you're okay.
Oh, I don't have anything to report, we're busy, you know, same stuff, different day. I just got out of court, so I apologize for being late. That's all I have.
Thanks, Amy.
Thank you.
Zach, how's everything in Southeast?
Things are going well, continue to just get requests for subdivisions or zoning permits, floodplain stuff. Asking a lot of questions of Brian and Amy lately with some unique situations that we've seen, but they've been very helpful for us. But yeah, things are going pretty well. Jared and I are going to be out today on a couple site reviews for some zoning permits and a floodplain permit thing. So, and we got a subdivision that possibly on the agenda for next week. Got some comments to go through still and verify some things, but hopefully we'll get on the agenda for next week. Other than that, just keep it up with people and keep the thing moving.
Thanks, Zach.
Yep.
Brian, secondary roads.
Good morning. Couple quick things, I guess. 61 related stuff, so DOT project related stuff. There's going to be some changes over the next couple weeks as far as closures. We haven't had anything official, but it sounds like they're not too far off of working on the Flint Bottom Road area. And that will be a full closure during that time period, which, you know, we've done a lot of full closures up and down, or they've done a lot of full closures up and down. That probably will be the the biggest one as far as catching attention. Although nice thing is we closed it last year, I think it was, so there'll be a lot of people trained for how else to go around. But so there's just over the next, I gather, maybe 3 weeks or so, there's gonna be a couple gravel roads, one will open, one will change. So when I have a little more information, I'll say it. But they have mentioned that they're gearing up to do that Flint Bottom Road one, and that shouldn't be a, you know, extended period, but I think it'll be at least 3 weeks if I had to guess. So it'll be a little bit of time there.
Be a good time for you to work on Gear Avenue.
Yeah, yeah. I'll roll right in there. So then I'll roll from there into our Beaverdale Road project, give you an update on that, I guess. We are not quite on the schedule I had hoped to be on. I think I mentioned that we ran into some really soft subgrade on in towards town and had to stop, pause, do a change order, core some stuff out. So we lost some time there. So what we're gonna do is, the entire segment's probably a week and a half to 2 weeks from opening at the earliest. It doesn't look like a lot, but there's still a lot of just subcontract work that needs to be done ahead of time, and that just takes scheduling and a lot of that stuff. You can't be doing it, one's got to be out before the other can come in and do their job, I guess is how I describe that. So what I'm looking at doing possibly even by this Friday is trying to put some temporary traffic control up and maybe open up the Washington intersection. If you can envision it, you won't be able to get to the ramps. The ramps will stay closed. But what it would do is allow all that traffic to use paved Washington Road, or either one, paved or gravel. All that traffic would be able to have a much shorter route around the construction. So.
When did you say Saturday, you think?
I'm kind of hoping for Friday.
Friday.
Now, I had a preliminary conversation with the contractor last night. We have to work up a modification to get to their traffic control people. We've got to get everybody on the same page. And there is still work that has to be done today and tomorrow. In fact, they're talking about pouring the last of the concrete tomorrow. So there's still a lot of stuff that's got to happen for that to be feasible. We will not, for instance, the shoulders won't be done. So there'll be a drop off the edge of the slab. So we have to make sure the traffic control contractor brings in cones and will mark the edge of the slab every 10 feet with reflective cones. So it's stuff like that. You can't just open it because it's not ready to be opened fully. So we're working on that, and I'm hoping maybe by the end of the day Friday, maybe we could get that intersection open, so it would cut down on the distance. It would be easier access for a lot of those businesses. I mean, if you're going to Standard, and I have to give credit to all the businesses there, they've been great to work with and very patient. But it would certainly make it shorter for the people to get there. So we're working on that because it is going to fall a little bit longer than I had hoped, but we've made good headway. And like I said, we should finish up concrete tomorrow. A lot of the dirt work actually should be done probably by tomorrow, if I had to guess, by the end of the day tomorrow. So things have come a long ways, but there is still work to do. So that's an update on that. And if we get to that point, we'll definitely move our traffic control signs around. It'll change some of the detour stuff. And we'll probably do a press release, but sometimes you can make things more confusing. We'll figure it out. I mean, people will figure out very quickly that they can go that way, trust me. They're looking forward to at least having a shorter route. So, and then really it shouldn't be long after that that we'll wrap things up and be able to get the whole thing open. So there's an update on that. Iowa City Road grading is still coming along. They're making headway and might do a little bit of mainline rocking on the south end of that. So, but they still have plenty of work to do. Some time ago, I told you that we received a grant. We applied for just a slightly under $50,000 grant to buy some traffic control lights, portable lights like you see down here on Bluff Road for that project. We received those actually. Those came in about a week ago. We haven't had the opportunity to use them, or bluntly, we probably don't know how to use them real well yet. They came and trained us, but it's like anything else. It's pretty complicated because there's a lot of electronics involved with it. But that should really help us out on the safety side of things for one lane closures, so for local projects. So
yeah, I saw that in the 5-year road plan or budget of the state.
Oh, did you? Well, there you go. And then, boy, there was something else in the middle of all that. It's gone. The contractor is planning, we're gonna start seeing maybe in the next 2 weeks, the early part of the asphalt part of our large project. The concrete that we're doing on Beaverdale is actually a small part of the overall project. We will do quite a bit more asphalt work as part of that project coming up. Early on in that, there's some patching that has to be done, especially up on Mediapolis Road. That will probably start up in the next 2 weeks, which will probably lead to some, there's a lot of milling to be done as part of that project. Obviously, that milling's got to happen sometime right thereabouts. So really sometime here in the next couple weeks from then on, we'll be either patching or milling, or sometime early in September starting asphalt on a lot of mileage of road, especially up in the Mediapolis area. Beaverdale also gets some of that. So we're a long ways from done with the overall project. All of that will be single lane closure type stuff. So there'll be some delays, but it won't be full closures. So it's one of those where it's a temporary headache rather than a weeks long permanent closure headache. So yeah, there's still something I'm forgetting, but it's gone now. I had it about 3 minutes ago.
Did you get your prices for your tree yet up in Middletown?
There it is.
Cornered me out at the fair and wanted to know about the middle.
Yeah, that's
tree.
Tell you what, there's a, that is the topic of conversation out around Middletown apparently. We did get prices, and we have a contractor lined up for early next week if his schedule allows to take both trees down, not just the one. So yes, that has been given the go ahead, and he was hoping to maybe come in next week. So
change the scenery there.
Yeah, it will, and apparently there'll be a lot of people that'll rest easier. So, but it'll be gone. We'll just take it down to a stump, and that'll be it.
You stack it over there with their maple trees?
Huh? So yeah, that is actually, I'm glad you said that, because that was something else I wanted to mention, that they'll move forward with that, and I would, maybe by the end of next week, that'll look a whole lot different, I guess. So.
Thank you, Brian.
Yep.
Chris Lee, Conservation.
All right, good morning. Just a couple things. The contractor is just about done with the trail on the end section of Starscape. So that concrete trail comes in from Highway 61 into the preserve proper. The trail's all built, the concrete's down. They've got, I think, most all the shouldering work. They just need to seed it. That's pretty well done. A couple of checklist things there at the end left to do, but that phase will be done. I'm cautiously optimistic that the middle section contractor is going to show up this week or next and get that going. And so I've got getting geared up to start overseeing that project. That's going to be one that's going to be intensively babysat, because it's a pretty sensitive area going through there, so I'm going to have to be living on that. So I can't guarantee I'm going to be coming to all these meetings going forward. Big kudos to Colin and his department for helping us up there at Big Hollow. We're installing Wi-Fi in the campground. We had looked at doing it through one of the internet companies, and Colin was able to get us the equipment for about 1/10 the price. And so we're just kind of installing that ourselves and having the contractor do the electric work. We're maybe going to see that done here maybe later this week, maybe next week. Times and schedules shake out, and so I think that's about it. We're in the peak of summer camps and getting ready for our big summer celebration event on the 18th there at Stars Cave. So
Campers need Wi-Fi, huh?
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if they need.
Changed a little bit.
They sure appreciate it.
Can't be alone.
Yeah, for what it's worth, we get endless amount of compliments on that park up there, how well it's come along in that shower house. People are amazed that they don't actually have to pay for the shower house. Apparently you have to put coins in some showers in some parks, which seems absurd to me. And they're excited about this Wi-Fi. When Colin was up there here several weeks back and we were putting it up and testing it, we had somebody come up that had found the signal on their phone and they wanted to know the password, and we'd been out there 5 minutes or something like that. So, and I think just this month alone, we brought in like $13,000 from the park with reservations and people coming in and staying. So we've been within one or two sites of being full the entire site. So definitely if you build it there, they can.
That's a good deal. That means there'll be no budget item there.
Build new stuff anyway. So that's about the long and short of it from us for right now.
Thanks, Chris. Angie, safety.
Hi, good morning. I don't really have anything for you. We'll go over our annual report here in a little bit.
Okay. So. Okay. Colin, IT.
Nothing real new to report, just keeping busy. We did put a link out for our county mobile app on the website. Got a couple hits on that, but nothing real new to report. So, yeah, it was kind of interesting a couple weeks back when we did the testing. We weren't out there very long and had somebody come up, wanted to get that Wi-Fi password and get out there and get that going. And I wanted to know if we're going to get it done here real soon. It seems like it's a pretty hot item out there, so. People got to have their internet access. So.
So do you make those passwords as complicated as you have to make them for regular internet?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I would just make it hard for you, Bob. When it's all said and done, there won't be a password on it out there. We just did it for testing. And so when we set it up, we put a password just so that, you know, we knew what we were getting, what kind of speeds we'd get and stuff, which I'm glad we did because, yeah, as soon as we brought online out there, it seems like instantly and wanted to be able to get on it. So
that's good. Thank you.
Yep.
Jeff, Sheriff's Office.
Good morning. Report on the jail first. I think our census is 90 this morning, so we're staying right up there. Something we talked about a couple months ago was a school resource officer change at the Mediapolis and Danville schools. They've approached us about a full-time based on the need to hire another full-time officer. Obviously, we put that off till next fiscal year, but we had a meeting last week with both schools, and both schools, their boards have voted on it, and they'd like to move forward with that project. So this current fiscal year, school year, we will do the same thing we've been doing for the last 10 years. We'll have one officer sharing between the two schools, and then probably during budget talks this winter, we'd like to talk about what that looks like for next year as far as another full-time school resource officer and have one full-time in each school. So.
Okay. Good. Ken.
Good morning.
Coordinator of Disability Services.
Yeah. There is a webinar this afternoon that I'm going to listen to. The ISAC is putting it on, and it's about House File 2456 that added all those core services to the regions. And so from 1 to 4 this afternoon, Teresa Armstrong with DHS is one of the speakers, and there's three other speakers, legal and legislative analysts, that are going to talk about this House file and talk about amendments to the Iowa Code that they're doing and modification to involuntary commitment and hospitalization law and the added core services and the physical components and formation of work groups for commitment process review, tertiary care psychiatric hospitals, MHDS funding physical viability review during the 2018 legislative interim, and status of the administrative rules regarding the core services. So lots of stuff's gonna be discussed for 3 hours this afternoon. It's a webinar, so I'm gonna listen in on that. If you want any more details, Tom, I can give you the sheet.
I'd be great. A couple of those had the fiscal viability for 2018 and the interim committee. I'm sort of curious who's gonna be on that committee, and
yeah.
And the I've spend a little bit of time on their fiscal viability.
I'll give you this sheet that just tells how to log into that if you want to hear any of that. Otherwise, I plan on taking some notes when I listen to it. So.
Okay. Well, yeah, I don't know where I'll get to that, but I wouldn't mind having a copy of your notes.
Yeah, and if they give any, if they have any handouts that they share, I'll sure pass them on.
Okay. Thanks, Ken.
Uh-huh.
I didn't miss anybody, did I? Correspondence.
I had some correspondence at the fair. Some township trustees, one up north. I talked about the big tree in the cemetery. That's still a problem, and I think they're going to come in and get that out of there. About a $4,000 project, I think.
Okay.
And fire truck. And I mentioned it something to Amy about it. I saw her out there, so I didn't want her to rest easy while she was out there.
And probably while I was eating a funnel cake.
And her face came out a little powder when she got through the knee. Anyway, so they want to, they can't, evidently the townships up there went together and they are handling Mediapolis's. So normally townships can't borrow money.
Yeah.
So they normally they have a little city in there with them. Well, the city can borrow the money, buy the fire trucks, then the townships pay them back. And they were wondering if we would buy the fire truck and they'd just pay us back on tax money. So, and
we've been to that discussion several times over the last couple of years.
Yeah, well, I think we've done it before. Otherwise, we could end up being the township trustees.
That's something to look forward to.
Yeah, no, I don't think I want to. That's pretty basic service of our government, but that's about as close to the people as you can get. And those guys up there, you know, they're on every board there is. There aren't that many of them. So
yeah.
They're on the levy boards and the drainage districts. Well, that's all one now. So, trustees, and school boards, and cemetery boards. You name it, they're all together.
That'd be a good question for the budget director or somebody if we've ever loaned, borrowed money for a township. Or
you might start with Amy.
I don't know if you've ever loaned the money. Cheryl might know that. I did just do a 2080 agreement between the Northern Des Moines County Rural Fire District and Mediapolis. So they're just taking over the fire protection for Mediapolis, so I'm sure they need the equipment to provide those services if they don't have it already. So.
Well, our rules and regulations say that you got to retire an old fire truck, whether you've used it or not.
I don't know. I guess I'd have to sit down with Cheryl. I don't know if you can bond for the township trustees.
That's an, and I don't.
Yeah.
I don't either.
Yeah. So I'd have to look at that.
I think that our government, state government, needs to take a good look at regulations for township trustees because those rules are so antiquated. So if those guys haven't, we're not a trustee, we changed it over and we went to the maximum we could charge on taxes, which is like 66 cents or something like that. And that made up for our ambulance service and let us put a little money into, you're allowed to save money for these big expenditures. But of course we could use Danville too, but a lot of those township trustees are made up of old farmers that are as tighter you are, maybe a little tighter.
God forbid.
We had a township just north of us that had one of those in there. And he's about as tight as you can get. And they finally went to it because they got in this thing jammed. They couldn't buy anything. And when those rules were made back in the, whenever they were, early 1900s, fire trucks didn't cost that much. They're terribly expensive now. Oh, good. So when we had the duals fall off and we upset our fire truck into the ditch, we had to buy a new one.
Maybe you could bond for it. The county keeps the fire truck in its name, but you lease it to the township trustees or something like that instead of just turning it over.
I don't see it much different than what we did with landfill. Landfill, they just paid it. They just made the payments. It's six one, half dozen other, I think.
Yeah.
Just depends on how the state wrote that law.
Yeah.
If
around it. But I'll take a look. Yep.
Thanks, Amy.
You bet.
A lot of conversation out there. Good.
Public input, session number one. Anybody from the public would like to address the board, please give us your name and address for the record. Seeing no one rise, we'll proceed to discussion and vote. We have payroll claims, reimbursement of $19.75.
Move to approve.
Second.
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Presentation of the 2018 Annual Safety Report.
So we'll go ahead and skip through all the first parts that explains everything. I think you guys have understood how we calculate rates and look at claims. If you go back to the picture with the guy on the boom, on the lift truck, that breaks down kind of where our accident rates were. We started off pretty strong this year. At the end of the year, we had some things that came up that kind of hit us a little harder on the bottom numbers.
The jail?
The jail, we actually had a couple claims from departments we don't normally have claims from. So we kind of got to get back on track. If you look, this would not be what was calculated, Tom, from insurance, because
yes,
this would go all the way to
these are
June
OSHA,
31st.
OSHA,
these are the OSHA, yeah, these are the numbers that we'd be reporting to OSHA. So with county, we had 26 total accidents, 12 were recordable, 5 were lost time. We had 60 lost days, 51 restricted days. The recordable rate is 7.18 and the lost time rate is 2.99. 7.18, if you can look at prior years, go to the 5-year statistical, that is definitely the highest we've had.
Mm-hmm.
The years prior is 1.68, 3.3, 2.18, 1.72, and then the 7.18. So we are looking at situations, a number of those were from the county jail, inmate altercations. If you go back to-
Have those slowed down any at all?
They have.
Have they?
Yeah, knock on wood, but. We've seen a decrease. Now the numbers have come back up. So if you remember correct, that's when we had the issues, when they were pulling about 100
mm-hmm.
inmates out there. We started having a lot of those.
Before we changed some of the procedures.
And yeah, some of the procedures and rules have been changed. So we've seen some better things. So hopefully we can make sure that these numbers are different next year. Like I said, it was the last, from January to June was where most of these numbers came in at. So if you go back to the three graphs, it shows the different types, what the accidents were: burn, dog bite, bug bite, skin disorders, kind of shows where those are. The next page will show you the body parts that were affected. And if you notice that we have a lot of strains and sprains, contusions, those are, most of those were inmate altercations.
Yeah.
So, and then on the last page, it shows kind of what our OSHA log looks like, shows the number of accidents, reportable lost time, lost days, and restricted.
Keep coaching.
We'll keep working on it. Like I said, this was kind of an increase this year.
I don't have any questions. I've already been through this.
Yeah. You have any questions, Bob?
No. I'm going to get to see it again anyway. I would imagine.
Yeah, and if you guys have any questions, please feel free to contact me. I'll be happy to. You have my number, right?
Yep.
Thanks, Andy.
Resolution endorsing and approving transportation traffic safety improvement application for Iowa City road paving. I believe this will be you, Mr. Carter.
I suspect. You know, it's a whole big packet, but in the end, the summary is I'm applying for some safety funds.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be the first to admit that I think we probably have a relatively low chance of being successful. This doesn't quite fit in the typical box as far as what normally applies for these funds. Typically, these funds are applied for on existing paved roads where you're proposing to do the same thing we're proposing to do, but you're doing them in locations that are already paved and you're just making improvements. We're proposing to do them as part of a upcoming paving project on Iowa City Road. So, but anyway, we're applying for just a little under $417,000 of funds. It's worth a shot. That's what I'll say. I don't have a lot of faith that I'll be successful, but if this happens, we'll look at a little wider pavement. We'll look at putting some edge rumble strips down the side, similar to some of the DOT roads. We'll look at a little wider pavement markings for better visibility. And we may look at some of those things already, but the wider pavement, you know, that's a chunk of money, and we probably won't be able to afford that if we don't get this. So,
resolution is, whereas the Iowa Department of Transportation Traffic Safety Improvement operates under the rules of the Iowa Administrative Code 761, Chapter 164, and whereas said program allows for the distribution of traffic safety funds to cities, counties, and the Iowa DOT for roadway safety improvements of study or studies, and whereas Des Moines County has determined that providing paved shoulders on the Iowa City Road ACC paving project is a beneficial safety improvement, and whereas state traffic safety improvement program funding is available through the Iowa Department of Transportation to partially fund roadway safety improvements, now therefore be it resolved that the Board of Supervisors supports and approves the attached application for Iowa Department of Transportation Traffic Safety Improvement Program funding and hereby commits to accepting and maintaining these improvements.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes.
Thank you.
Good luck.
I will tell.
approval of final design services supplemental agreement number 2, Des Moines County Highway 99, Bridge T29, project number BROS-CO2978-60-29.
Anytime we do a bridge design contract, we have multiple times we bring in the different portions of the contract, I guess is how I describe it. This is pretty standard. This is for the final design, so since we'll do our own inspection and such, this is kind of the tail end contract. So they are working on final design as we speak on the Flint Creek Bridge on Highway 99. I gave them the verbal go ahead before this has come to you. But I know there are a number of sheets in, but to give you an idea, this is probably a 100 to 150 set sheet of plans. So it's not because it's a specialty design bridge. And of course, then there's the waterworks part of it. That's what this is. I think if you total all the numbers in there, they'll come up somewhere in the ballpark of $210,000. So, and if you look at the overall project, it's right in line with the typical structure of this size, similar to what Burlington's doing cost-wise for design, similar to what we had with Augusta Bridge when we did that a few years back, stuff like that. So, I'd recommend your approval, and we are making headway, give you a little bit of an update, but we are still lacking one big permit right at the moment. That's the Corps of Engineers. So I know we will end up with it, but I'd say we're down to about a two-month window of what I call crunch time, maybe a month and a half, but either we get our ducks in a row and we look at proceeding, or we put things on pause, we wait till next summer, and we have everything ready to go, but we hold off on our bids. And because I've said from the beginning, we'll hit our time frame. That's our priority. Our priority is to try to have Highway 99 closed during the least, I'll use that word, it's relative, but inconvenient time. And so we're gonna try to miss harvest when we do this project, and we'll try to get it open before the following harvest. And I don't think that should be a problem, but so there's a lot of things that still have to be lined up. This won't be wasted, because either we'll have it ready and we'll do it this winter, get it started this winter, or we'll have it ready and we'll do it next winter. So there's, just had a lengthy call this last week, actually, just about details. And I'm gonna call the Corps of Engineers just to see where they're at in their evaluation process. That won't necessarily speed anything up, anyway, we do have our DNR permits, so that's a good thing. So we have definitely made headway.
I've had some dealings with the Corps Engineers who aren't going to speed them up.
No. It is what it is, and like I said, we will ultimately get all of it. I'm going to meet in August with the levy district again, but I think we've... our consulting firms, both Waterworks and ours, has been in touch with their consulting firm to make sure that everything that's happening is they're comfortable with it, because we are working on the south side of that. That's their levy that we'll be working on. So, and I will mention sometime in the next week or so, I think we'll have some geotechnical work done. So there'll be a lane temp, just a one lane closure across that bridge during some of that work for 2 or 3 days. They'll have traffic control and everything else, but they have to do soil borings and stuff. So there's things are still proceeding. In fact, that's one of the costs in that contract. So.
Move to approve.
Second. Jerry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Broker?
Yes. And there's, I think there's 4 or 5 in there, and then I'll have to send these off for signatures. So. I'll leave a copy for Terry and get the original sent off.
We have personnel action from local health. We have a resignation of public health nurse Lynn Webb.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. And we have the correctional center has a new hire, Colton Whalen, part-time cook, at $10 an hour.
Move to approve.
Second. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. We have the report on the jail statistics for May 2018. These will be on file in the auditor's office and available for public review. We have minutes for the regular meeting.
Move to approve.
July 24th. Second. Terry?
Bob Beck?
Yes.
Tom Brokaw?
Yes. Any other business?
I have none.
I have none. Future agenda items?
I don't have any.
I have none. Committee reports?
Yeah, I walked off and left my brain at home. See, what did I go to this week?
Short meeting?
I had a couple. I had a couple of meetings. Regional planning meeting. We went through their 50-year plan. How many? 5-year plan or something, but
it's about a 30-year.
My word, it's complete. Anything that's happening in the southeast Iowa is in that report or anticipated to happen. There's a lot of Highway 61 in there.
If you want to see trends of population, housing, economics, I mean, we've got so much information there that kind of tells the story of kind of the direction things have been going over the last 10, 20 years. It's in some cases kind of projecting out where things are going to be going. So a lot of, if you want to understand Southeast Iowa and what's been happening, we've got a ton of information in there. We've got a few, it's not actually available online. We've got a draft that's out online, but we've got a few things we need to kind of finalize before we send it out, but it'll be public here in the next probably week or two. Yeah, the final version.
The Hill Sachs contract up if he went over time limit.
They gave me 5 minutes to present on it. I think I did about 12. Maybe.
All I know is it took me a whole lot longer than that to look at it.
Yeah.
It was very thorough. And I told Brett on the way in there, Fleischman, I said, you're going to go clear through that, are you? We've been there until the next day. No, he said, I wouldn't think of that. So, but it was very thorough, and the staff did a nice job on it.
Thanks.
And they tried to bring people in and explain it, but nobody showed up.
You and Brian showed up.
That's it. Yeah, well, and that gal, I don't know, didn't know her name then. I still don't. And she's got about the same name as the. Doesn't matter.
Now that'll be online for everyone, Zach.
Yeah, it will be when we publish it. We'll make it available. We'll send out notices and things like that. But it should be.
If you didn't.
So we've kind of got some formatting and editing things to clean up, but it should be available in the next week or two.
You enjoy my 5-year program, you will love this.
But his will be information.
It's more interesting than a 5-year program.
It's important information.
Yeah, try to sell it.
But it's very long, though. It is long. And we actually, we tried to actually keep it shorter, but we've this is something too that's a requirement for Iowa DOT, and I mean, we tried to keep certain things shorter, but they kept adding more things that they wanted us to put in there, so.
Oh, I've done.
It was already long, but it.
Memory, my computer.
Yeah, it was already long, but it became quite a bit longer after all the additional things they wanted us to put in there too. So.
One page summary is always nice.
Yep.
I also had a 61 goal aid meeting that we're going to go and testify for Highway 61 next 3 weeks, I believe.
August 14th.
Yeah. So I will not be here on the 14th. Are you going to be here? One of those days.
I don't think I am.
Yeah.
I think I'm out of state.
You either have one, either have the meeting ahead or behind. Is that a bill paying?
August the 14th. No, it's not a claim.
You might skip that meeting. I hate to see you guys get off easy.
Well,
you're not here, and I won't be here, so Jim get off easy. Anyway, we're gonna discuss any possibility of moving forward, trying to get the project done a little quicker. Stay in front of them and try to get to know the commissioners better, and let them know that there's needs down in southeast Iowa too, like there's their place else. You know. Some of those guys have been up there every time, and we always talk about Buck. If you've ever been to a DOT meeting, Buck was those commissioners knew him. And in fact, I was one at a meeting in Ames several years ago, and they looked around the room. They said, "Where's Buck? We can't start." So, and I think he represented Highway 30, and it was just about four lane. So, squeaky wheel gets grease, I guess.
Doesn't hurt to run right past Cedar Rapids.
Yeah, that helps a lot. And, it, you know, in 80's busy, so it takes some of that pressure off, too. That's about all I think I have.
I don't have any committee reports. Public input session number two. If anybody from the public would like to address the board, please stand up, give us your name and address for the record. Seeing no one rise, I would entertain motion to adjourn.
Aye.
Aye. We're adjourned.